You are listening to the Legacy Arts Chronicles podcast. I'm Christina Altamura. This podcast is an oral history about the master teachers that have touched our lives through their art, work, and legacies. Series 1 concentrates on the innovations of Franco Scala, an Italian master teacher who considers himself a craftsman of piano pedagogy. His Piano Academy in Imola pioneered a new collaborative teaching model called Encounters with the Masters. Through conversations with Scala and his former students and collaborators, we wanted to tell the story of this remarkable person, an artisan teacher tied to the land of his ancestors and the school he founded that has produced such phenomenal pianists. Episode 2, Space and Time in Scala's Academy, a conversation with Andre Gallo.
The important thing is that 1 second of silence between your question and the answer, or between your playing and his talking. So in that second, I think that it was impressive.
Italian pianist Andre Gallo distinguished himself on the international concert scene at a very young age. His phenomenal skills, interpretive depth, and eclectic musical taste have defined a career of solo piano performance and prestigious collaborations in the world's finest concert halls. Gallo's commitment to the French repertoire is comprehensive. In his young career, he has already publicly performed the complete piano works of Debussy, Ravel, Poulenc, Satie, and Dutilleux. He is currently the youngest faculty member at the Piano Academy of Imola, a position he was appointed to after 10 years of teaching in Italy's most prestigious conservatories. And he owes his evolution as a pianist and teacher to the influence of Franco Scala. The following conversation took place in November of 2019 at Taplin Hall on the Princeton University campus during the cultural exchange that I facilitated through Legacy Arts International between the music department at Princeton and Scala's Piano Academy in Imola. The themes that emerged from this conversation about Scala's approach to teaching had to do with the physicality of playing the instrument, the ways we use our body to create colors, the process of researching sounds, how musical interpretation is a confluence of memories that act as a kind of DNA, the importance of freedom to play for different teachers, and the importance of taking a human approach to achieve equilibrium during our personal development. Gallo told me that when he first auditioned for Scala, he was 12 years old. As a child prodigy, he was falling into a kind of typical path of performing and competing. The first thing that Scala asked him to do was to take a break from this constant activity, to focus on developing his ideas, and have time to enjoy things of a normal teenager, socializing, relaxing, enjoying a meal with friends, and even learning to ride a bike, which the young Andre hadn't yet had a chance to do. Hi, I'm Cristina Altamura, and I'm here with Andre Gallo, and we are both students of Maestro Scala, and I'm curious about how you spent your time together in your lessons. What kinds of things did you explore together? And how did he somewhat change your approach?
Of course, when I was 10, 11 years old, everything was so fast, okay? You can learn this piece in 2 weeks. Okay, right. let's have this challenge.
Let's see how fast you learn.
And with him, it was quite the contrary. So after many, many years, I recognized that he understood something very important for me. I had many, many doubts in my mind, in my souls, in my heart. So, of course, I was a child, you know.
Yeah.
But there were only a solution to destroy these doubts and to grow up. So just I need the time.
Done.
Yeah, let's say that even now, with him, you are always under observation.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
So even when you are just studying, you know, he was in his office, the director of office,
right.
And you were studying in
the
room.
Yeah.
And after a few hours, you were, okay, salve Maestro Scala, and he said a few words, and you understand that he was listening to you. And this is something that, oh my God, okay, what I did,
this.
Right. And let's say that also with him, he was not interested in normal piano lessons.
Right.
So always there were something more.
Mm.
And of course, one of the most important step for me was to change even my behavior. Maybe I already you know me. And in that time, I had some bad behavior with myself, with my...
Like self-destructive kind of behavior?
Let's say that I was, of course, not happy about my playing, about the response of the piano. Every time the piano has thousands of conflict. Why this piano is doing so bad? It was not the piano, it was me. And also, this was going to create a wrong personality, a wrong way to live with the music, no, everyday life.
Right.
And I think that he recognized immediately this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And with the right time, with the right approach,
mm-hmm.
it was not only a piano teacher approach, it was also a human approach.
Right.
Always he was looking for the best part of ourselves. And
so he was looking where he could build.
Yes, on that.
Yes, build on what you already have.
Yes.
And so you started to feel security and confidence in yourself.
Of course, it's very important in that age that the teacher is understanding what you're trying to do. Okay, not only with the music, but with your life.
And it sounds simple, but it's... Really, a profound moment if that happens.
I think that it's very hard to extrapolate a kind of methodology about Scala. The important thing is that 1 second of silence between your question and the answer, or between your playing and his talking. So in that second, I think that it was impressive. But what I remember is not very long conversation about how to use the wrist, how to use the body memory, how to use the tension between the notes or in the music, how to look the sentence in music. I don't remember long conversation, but I just remember some pills, and that is something that you go home and what
some what pills?
Pills.
Like a little?
Yeah, a little word. For example, I really remember the word, the first time that he spoke with me about the body memory, and I remember that the first sentence was, but maybe the body can follow where the hand goes, and I said, What does that mean? So the body follow where the hand goes. And the second sentence, but what the wrist can do? And there's, okay, but the finger here, what the wrist can do?
Isn't it like a kind of psychologist that if you go to therapy and a really good psychologist might just say one sentence at the end.
And you do everything.
And then you spend the rest of the week.
I think this is up.
I'm still, after years, I can hear his voice in my head saying things to me while I'm practicing the Chopin Etudes, which is something that he really spent a lot of time with me on.
Of course. Every time with him, it was a kind of or. I played something and they say, yeah, good. or can you have another idea, for example? So he never says to you, maybe these things, or look at this. Let's search for another idea,
but
you believe in this.
As you said, all of this takes time.
Yeah.
And this is something that it's almost impossible today in the way things are structured today.
Yeah.
Everything is 1 hour lesson. You have to stop on the dot because you need to go to your next student. But the approach in Imola, and I think is something that he insisted, he changed his whole life to be able to do this process, is to take time and space.
I think that it was also very important for him to recognize that he was in peace with himself. So, and he was really trying to help you, and he want to be surprised as you by the results. Okay.
You wanted to be as surprised
as
you would be.
Yes.
With the results.
Yes.
Yeah. He is very young. I always think of him as very young because of that ability to be surprised, to want to be surprised, to be delighted. He really shows tremendous delight and
curiosity. Yes.
Yeah.
Something that. First thing that he was very, very good is to understand the potential of a pianist and to, of course, help him to recognize his limits, because we have a limit and we have to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And also to understand his potential, his where and how he can be good. Okay, but let's say that I think that the most important words, if we are talking about him, is the word freedom, because when you are in Imola, it was so easy to play for a lot and a different kind of pianists and teachers, and that's
well. But that is the foundation of the philosophy of the academy, is that he would bring all these incredible musicians to take residence in Imola, and that you would have the opportunity and the freedom to, during the course of your years there, to play for different people when it was the right time. Whereas in a traditional conservatory, basically, you will study with the same person for 4 years, and maybe there are some master classes in between. But that's having a master class with a visiting professor is not the same as saying, can I spend several months with this other teacher. So we're sitting here in Taplin Hall on the campus of Princeton University, and the connection, the thing that I found was important for me to connect these two institutions was that I felt that the philosophy here is very similar to that of the academy in Imola.
Yeah. I think that, you know, this is, if I can be sincere, something is very important to know is that when we are students, it's very important to have this kind, to believe in your teacher, to trust him and to follow him. But the risk is, after many years, is that you became a kind of property of your teacher. Let's say that a student has a new piano piece that you are studying. For me, it's a kind of dark room, okay? And sometimes the teacher, or yourself as artist, you enter inside this room and you believe and you think that you are the light. So now the students, dark room, or the piece, the dark room, is becoming a stella, okay? It's becoming
a star.
A star, yes, because all my lights will
Infuse the students with knowledge.
Yes. That I think that the light is already inside
the student.
And the light is already inside the piece. So I think that sometimes the great personalities is like a shadows in front of the light. Okay? Because your personality put the darkness around you. And sometimes you have to move, and you have to move in another direction, and you have to discover, and you have to move around these things to see the darkness and the light and the shadows show you a different place of that room. And I really need to use also all my skills. I need to use everything, but never enter in a new room already knowing what is inside that room. for me and when my relation with Scala, the piano technique, the discovery of music, the style, the different styles, the mind of the composer, all this was a kind of a sincere path, a sincere walking, and a kind of discovery day after day. I really think that as artist, you need to use all different kind of memories to be a sincere artist. There are, of course, centuries and centuries of historical memories. After there is other kind of memories, there is a grammatical memories. The music is language, okay? And of course, the composer are like, they are like poeti, okay? They are like...
They are poets.
Poets. And of course, the words as the sounds, as the common object in music, interval, harmonies, and rhythm, they have a DNA. So you have to know this memory. Otherwise, you can make a terrible misunderstanding that you are reading the words house and you are reading funeral. This cannot happen in our language.
No.
But I think that happens many, many times in musician life if you don't use that kind of memory. And after, there is your private memory. I know that that word is meaning house. I know what is mean house in history. I know what is mean the language house. I know how to use the word house, but I cannot decide what house meaning to me. Okay? So, in this way, you have your private memory, you have your collective memory, and you have your historical memory. An artist who can use and focus on just one of these is not a good artist. So, what I learned from Scala, that he says that, of course, he can help me in this trip, and also, of course, not only one teacher can create all these memories. So, different teacher has to create different meetings, encounters. That's why the name
encounters.
Yes.
And that's why the academy is called Encounters with the Masters, right?
Yes. The first step is the human step. Okay, we can talk about great teachers, we can talk about great institutions, great schools, but remember that all these institutions are made by people.
I mean, I remember also, if you were lucky enough to live in Imola to study with Scala, you might take a bike ride with him after, you know, an hour of, after a lesson. And or yeah, he taught you how to ride a bike?
Yes.
Or he would take
me
out.
I learned when I was 19, very late.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I mean, I remember going for a lesson and expecting to sit down, and he would say, let's go to the bar and get a coffee first. And, you know, it's just, it was a wonderful way to put me at ease.
The body, as the, that is our instrument. Our instrument is not the piano. Our instrument is our body.
It's our body.
And the piano and the language and the human being inside the music are all things that you need to cultivate. Otherwise, it's right? Cultivate?
Cultivate.
Yeah? Cultivate. Because otherwise you miss something. So I told you that I was fighting with the music and with the piano because I was not considering my body. And of course, one of the most important sentence by Scala is that we are like artisan. And this sentence in my, what do you mean artisan? You know, we don't do this kind of job.
Artisans,
with our,
yeah.
Yes, with our body. And artigiani, yes. And after a while, I understand that, yes, I'm making the sound with my body. It's not with the piano, with my body.
Right.
So, the difference, how I use the body, it makes a different sound. This was for me a huge discovery, because now I'm the guy who says that if you want a different sound, you have to use different way your body.
I mean, talking about the body,
yeah.
I don't know, maybe I think we're getting to the core here.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
It wasn't like, oh, play that louder or play that softer or do this. It was like, breathe here. Okay, pull back. Sit back a little bit, or sit forward, or these micro adjustments that made you really almost like a yoga teacher. But
yeah, what is very clear now for me, it was not so clear when, of course, I was a student, is that to play the piano is a full combination of research for a sound, research for a meaning, research for an action, you know, and sometimes when you're a student, you have not the clear idea of what the language is. You have not a clear idea of the sound. You have not a clear idea of that. All these things put yourself of course, in a, not a good relationship with your body. It's like you are just taking a chair without knowing that you are taking a chair. So you are you are using in the wrong way your energy. So I think that the first step that a good teacher needs to do, and what Scala was very good, is to recognize that you are not having an idea what you are doing. So search for the idea.
Search for the idea.
First things. You are not taking care of the language. You are not taking care of the technical object. What is this? Octaves, this is terze, seste.
Third, sixth.
Yes, what are all these things?
What is the technical object?
And how the composer is using that.
And how the composer is using
for which meaning, for which goals is using that. Are you listening yourself or you're just playing? How you use your energy? So sometimes, even now, even my students now, they say, they call me the yoga teacher because studia lento,
study slowly, think with calm,
but of course, the first step is to try to eliminate a great percent of this tension that you don't need.
Wasted energy.
Yeah, waste of energy.
An efficient.
So, yes, but in general, to make an action is a combination between a lot of kind of coordination of our body. Mm-hmm. So the tension in the relaxing is the same things.
Yes.
In the same way, if I'm trying to push something in the wrong way, I'm using too much energy.
Right.
So you can make wrong decision for relaxing or make tension.
Yeah.
In both direction, you know, you are too much relaxing when you are singing,
right.
Or you are much tension when you are playing very soft things. This is way is Scala's ways to look at the body and the musician, a musician as an artisan, because we have our job is to make all inside the sound. I think, Christina, that many times. Okay, let's start to say that. I think that my body, for me, is a kind of monkey. So it's not well educated sometimes. Practice, it must be a way of to be a kind of researcher, not just to make an education of your body, but in that kind of moment, you need to remember, as is this important sentence, that you are artist at home. And perform on the stage. But the artist is at home. What you do at home is the most important part, because your body is not the richest part of yourself. It's your mind, it's your heart, it's your knowledge, it's your sensibility, the most part.
We can close by saying that Scala always says that a great teacher also has to have an incredible sense of empathy.
Yes.
And we can add that to the list.
Of course.
Okay?
We need
so
to.
We'll continue talking about these
Thank
things.
Thank you, Christine. Thank you. Thank you.
All of the wonderful and profound concepts we just discussed are so evident in Gallo's playing. When he visited us in Princeton for the cultural exchange in the fall of 2019, just months before the beginning of the pandemic, we asked him to play a piece for us in between the masterclasses he was conducting here. This is the live, uncut performance he offered of Debussy's Arabesque No. 1. Thank you. the music we heard performed by Gallo during this episode was taken from live recordings. In order, Franz Liszt's Transcendental Etude after Paganini, S-140, No. 2. The Toccata by Francis Poulenc. The Fantasy for Piano and Orchestra by Claude Debussy, with the Orchestra Teatro Reggio di Torino, conducted by Bertrand de Billy, and Claude Debussy's Arabesque No. 1. The Legacy Arts Chronicles podcast is written and edited by Christina Altamura and Adam Slewinski. Audio editing and engineering by Joseph Brancifort. A video of this interview was shot by 410 Media and can be found on the Legacy Arts Podcast YouTube channel. This podcast is made possible by supporters of Legacy Arts International. You can listen to the Legacy Arts Chronicles podcast, Oral Histories of Master Teachers, at christinaaltamura.com or Spotify, iTunes, and wherever podcasts are found.